With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hey guys, quick question. Do you like conversations about ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, and many mysteries of our strange world? Well, I know you do because you're listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories, and those are the same type of topics that we cover on Hillbilly Horror Stories. Now, since we know that you love those kind of topics, you should be listening to the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold. Jim Harold is literally the podfather when it comes to paranormal podcasting. I don't know a single podcaster in the paranormal genre that doesn't look up to Jim Harold. As best that Jim can tell, the Paranormal Podcast, which launched in 2005, is the longest running podcast of its type on the internet. That says something, folks. Jim's interviewed big names in the paranormal. People like Jack Osborne on Ghosts, Dr. Raymond Moody on near-death experiences, and Jacques Vallée on UFOs. The show focuses on every aspect of unexplained phenomena. Each week, an expert joins Jim for a serious discussion of mysterious matters. The show really harkens back to the best of paranormal media over the years, shows like In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries. It's kind of like a box of chocolates. You never know the topic you'll get, but it's sure to be fascinating. Do me a personal favor. Tune in to the Paranormal Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to Hillbilly Horror Stories. You'll be glad you did.
Don't be afraid. Lock the doors. Turn out the lights. And climb into bed. It's time for Hillbilly Dead Time Stories.
It is theorized that when you meet an unexpected, or in some cases a violent death, that the soul stays at the location of said death. In some of these cases, it may be because the spirit has something to communicate. This could be anything from where money or jewelry had been hidden, to how the person truly died. Maybe there was a murder that had been overlooked. And in these cases, maybe the deceased is the only one who can point this out. This may have very well been the case with today's subject, Ella Myers. Perhaps one of the most intriguing ghost stories ever documented in Guthrie, Oklahoma, concerns a woman by the name of Ella Myers. Ella was found dead in the home of Ella Horton in the spring of 1896, and over several days, the Guthrie Daily Leader had several articles about the mysterious death and the subsequent haunting by Ella Myers. On Sunday, April 5th, 1896, the body of Ella Myers, a prostitute, was found unconscious or dead in the home of Ella Horton. It is believed that Ella Horton was a prostitute herself, or at the very least, a madam who oversaw several local ladies of the evening. Although the street address was never given in any of the newspaper articles, they did report that the house in which she died was, quote-unquote, near the Santa Fe right-of-way. Ella Meyer's body was then hastily examined by Guthrie Coroner and a physician by the name of Dr. Cotterill. It was then ordered to be buried immediately. According to the coroner, the official cause of death was overdose by cocaine. As Myers was known to be addicted to the substance, which was at the time actually legal. However, there was no independent way to confirm or deny the cause of death because of what happened next. As Myers had no money, she was buried in a hastily constructed pine coffin within a few hours of being seen by the coroner and Dr. Cotterill. Her body was buried in a pauper's grave in a nearby graveyard early the very next day. There were several rumors associated with the hasty burial of Meyer's body. One was that the coroner and or Dr. Cotterill had been one of Ella's clients, and they wanted to be rid of her body as soon as possible. Other rumors even went as far as to allege that she was in fact alive when she was seen by the men, who had arranged to have her buried alive, face down in the coffin. There was a great deal of controversy regarding the condition of Meyer's body. Although the coroner and his associate claimed that Ella Meyer's body was freshly dead, the undertaker, Dr. Baker, stated that she had been dead for quite some time and that her body was badly decomposed. According to the four newspaper articles from the Guthrie Daily Leader dated April 9th to April 23rd, 1896, the paranormal activity began soon after Ella Meyers was buried. Shortly after Meyers was buried, people who walked by the shack where she was found would hear loud moans of despair, as well as deep, heart-wrenching sobbing. Also, although the shack was no longer occupied and had been locked from the outside, the sounds of voices came from inside. When people went in to investigate the sounds and opened the door to enter, it would slam in their face, although there did not appear to be anybody inside the house. Soon, things really began to get interesting at the house where Ella Meyers was found dead or at least near death. In the April 15, 1896 edition of the Guthrie Daily Leader, a local resident described as a well-known sport decided to see if there was any truth to what was being written about Ella Meyers in the newspaper. In a later edition of the paper, the man was identified as a local socialite by the name of George Hardys. Skeptical of the newspaper reports and what he had been hearing from other people, Hardys went to investigate the home himself because he just could not believe what had been written about the ghost of Ella Meyers. Just as with the other accounts, Hardys attempted to open the door, but it would not open for him. After trying for a few moments, it opened easily and he entered. As soon as he entered the room, he claimed that he saw a blood-red hand carrying a vial or glass. Hardys did not stay around long enough to take a closer look. As soon as he left the house, he apparently went to the local newspaper to tell his story. After the story was published on April 15, 1898, it piqued the interest of several spiritualists in the area. Within a day or two of the April 15th article, as many as 25 spiritualists and psychics decided to visit the house to see if they could make contact with the ghost of Ella Meyers. Virtually everyone who went there heard the moaning and the crying from within the locked shack. Some peeked in the window and saw a woman in white standing by herself. At least two people who congregated there identified her as Ella Meyers. However, perhaps the most interesting and possibly incriminating experience from the whole incident was that some people allegedly heard the ghost of Ella Meyers. On three separate occasions, people present at the home distinctly heard a woman's voice cry out, "Don't give me any more morphine, I am sick." It was commonly known that Meyers was addicted to cocaine, not morphine. There were those who believed that Ella Meyers was given a large amount of morphine shortly before her death, either to prevent an overdose or to prevent her from talking. The woman's plea gave credence in some circles that the doctor who examined her body actually gave her a shot of morphine in order to kill her. However, to this day, the allegation has not been substantiated. From the time of her death on April 9, 1896 until April 22, 1896, the ghost of Ella Myers caused quite a commotion for people who lived near the house where she died. Sounds of crying and moaning could be heard constantly from the house. People were at the house all hours trying to get a peek at her specter. Some residents were so frustrated by the newfound fame of the recently deceased neighbor that they temporarily left their homes. The newspaper article from April 19, 1896 edition went as far as to write, "For over a week, supernatural manifestations in the house have aroused the neighborhood, and the shacks in the vicinity of the haunted dwelling have been vacated." The wailing, crying, apparitions, and other manifestations continued to make news until April 22, 1896. That's when Ella's brother arrived from Kansas to claim her body. According to the last newspaper article dated April 23, 1896, word of Ella Myers' death had reached her brother. After reading the first three articles, her brother came to Guthrie and claimed her body and returned it to Kansas, where it was given a proper burial. Authorities who were there during the exhumation confirmed that Ella's body was buried face up, and there was no indication, such as scratch marks on the inside of the coffin, that she was buried alive. Ironically, after her body was taken back to Kansas by her brother, there were apparently no more signs of paranormal activity.
So hush, little baby, don't.